Welcome to episode 238 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Today we continue our study of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. The word strength and its derivatives are mentioned over 360 times in the Bible, applying to both natural and supernatural strength. The Greek word kate means power, strength, might. In the Bible, strength is often linked to God's power. Believers are to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. The unlimited power of Christ is a source of strength for those who belong to him. According to the Bible, what strength we have is not our own. It ultimately comes from God. We read in Jeremiah 9, verse 23 to 24, "Let not the wise boast of their wisdom or the strong boast of their strength, but let the one who boasts boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord." That said, most cultures throughout time embrace and reward strength. Catchphrases of our times reflect this. Survival of the fittest, the strong silent type. May the force be with you. Fight the power. Even our favorite Bible heroes are those who can slay giants, challenge foreign leaders, face down lions, or survive being thrown into dungeons. So throughout the epistle that we call 2 Corinthians, Paul turns upside down our natural expectations of the way life works. Contrary to the way the world and our human hearts naturally function, God takes what is low, despised, and weak to accomplish his purposes. Comfort comes through affliction. 2 Corinthians 1 verses 3 to 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. One great purpose of God in comforting us when we suffer what other versions call trouble or tribulation is to enable us to bring comfort to others. God's comfort can be given and received through others. We have sufficiency through insufficiency. 2 Corinthians 3 verses 4 to 6. And we have such trust through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Of this, Charles Spurgeon writes, "We are poor, leaking vessels, and the only way for us to keep full is to put our pitcher under the perpetual flow of boundless grace. Then, despite its leakage, the cup will always be full to the brim." Jesus' disciples, those who succeed him as evangelists and missionaries, are not scholars of the law or experts in church organization. They are fishermen, a tax collector, radicals, men who are impetuous, quarrelsome, cowardly, and of dubious faith. And yet they take the gospel to the world. Only through the power of the Holy Spirit. We have life through death. 2 Corinthians 4 verses 11 to 12. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Paul, like any Christian, wants the life of Jesus evident in him. Paul knows this can only happen if he also carries about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. There are some aspects of God's great work in our lives that only happen through trials and suffering. Every death-like trial is just the prelude to resurrection power. We gain blessings through suffering. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 4 to 6 and 8 to 10. In everything we do, we show that we are true ministers of God, We patiently endure troubles and hardships and calamities of every kind. We have been beaten, been put in prison, faced angry mobs, and worked to exhaustion, endured sleepless nights, and gone without food. We prove ourselves by our purity, our understanding, our patience, our kindness, by the Holy Spirit within us, and by our sincere love. We serve God whether people honor us or despise us, whether they slander us or praise us. We are honest, but they call us imposters. We are ignored, even though we are well known. We live close to death, but we are still alive. We have been beaten, but we have not been killed. Our hearts ache, but we always have joy. We are poor, but we give spiritual riches to others. We own nothing, and yet we have everything. Endurance through difficulty is made possible by the grace of God. Some in Corinth reject and even ridicule Paul because of his suffering. However, his suffering imitates the cross of Christ. And what does Paul say about his critics? 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 to 15. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. Strong words. Salvation comes through grief. In 2 Corinthians 7, verse 9, Paul talks about the people in the church being grieved into repentance. Then he adds in verse 10, for godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death. Just like the church at Corinth, we are also called to repent. Abundance can come from poverty. 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 to 2. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. Then he adds in verses 9 and 14, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. Your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. The Macedonians, though they're in a great trial of affliction and though they're in deep poverty, still give generously. Believers with more than they need should be ready and willing to give to believers with less than they need. If their fortunes reverse later, then the contributions should flow in the other direction. Paul does not think some Christians should live in painful poverty while others live in pleasurable excess. When the church first comes into being, it is known for following this principle. There can be boasting in hardship. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 30. If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. Paul makes this declaration after a long list of his hardships, from emotional stress to being hungry and thirsty to being shipwrecked to being beaten and more. Chapter 12 then gives the key principle. God's power is made perfect in weakness. Verse 9, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. There may not be anything inherently commendable in weakness. However, it is God's chosen means of displaying his grace and glory and power. In the end, Paul does not resign himself to his fate. He welcomes it. He rejoices that God has forced him to rely on the grace and strength of God, and all the more so he can say, when I am weak, then I am strong. Father, thank you that your grace is sufficient for us. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.